Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you on this Wednesday. We have our brother Daniel Seckham with us today, and we were just talking about what happened during the Feast of Tabernacles. Daniel, you were greatly missed, and I guess we missed a few appointments with you. I know today you probably have something, hopefully, you're going to share about the Feast of Tabernacles, but brother, we missed you, and we had an incredible time. How was your Feast of Tabernacles in Australia?
Not as good as yours. I saw a bunch of the photos and videos come through, and I was just bummed I couldn't be there.
Yeah.
Really disappointed, but that's just the way the cookie crumbles, I suppose. Anyway.
So are there still travel bans leaving Australia at this point? I mean, you still couldn't get out if you wanted to.
Still couldn't get out.
Isn't that amazing?
It's crazy. It's really dumb. But anyway, there's not much I can do about that. The only way that I could have gotten around it is if I got special permission. If you had to write a letter for special permission and had to be on the grounds of, like, compassionate grounds, if I had family in the US or along those lines, and, you know, that wouldn't have worked. That's just the way it is.
But you do have family. You do have family here.
Yeah.
You have real family, eternal.
Yeah, on the technicality, that's true.
Well, praise the Lord. We did, we had a great time, and people were saying, are we going to see Daniel? We're going to see Daniel. And we were hoping on Wednesday and then Friday. And then things just, seeing Kevin's on there right now, kind of listening. And for one reason or another, we weren't able to see you on Friday. But we're glad you're with us today, and we're wanting to move forward in our conversation. Hopefully, we're coming through loud and clear on Blog Talk Radio and on Omega Radio, on Facebook and YouTube. So welcome to everybody. Let's get into the conversation right now. I wonder what is on your heart, if anything particular today. There's a lot going on around the world. Where do you want to begin?
Oh, that is a great question. Where do I begin? I think there's a lot that we could discuss. We could discuss what's going on in the build up to the election. We could discuss that. We could discuss a bunch of different things in regards to leading up to the Lord's return. We could discuss we could discuss a whole bunch of different things. One thing is for sure is that we need to be very sensitive to the voice of the Lord, as the we need to really hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, as it says, you know, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I think the Lord is saying for many of us that we really need to keep our eyes on him, because I believe that we're going to be experiencing a very, very bumpy road within the next 3 weeks. And we need to keep our eyes on him in that process. No matter what happens, no matter what kind of a shaking, no matter what kind of a upheaval, we need to keep our eyes on him. And look, there can be absolute pandemonium. There can be the most ferocious storm going on around you, but you need to remind yourself that Jesus is in your boat.
Amen. Amen. Wow. That, you see, that's the faith, that's the hope that we have as Christian men and women, that in the midst of this, can you imagine going through life, you know, without any assurity, without any real hope, you know, just ideas and concepts and that type of thing. The gospel, I fear, is under attack, and that the enemy is going to do everything in his power to blaspheme, slander, and accuse not only the gospel, but those who believe in the gospel, to make their faith kind of absurd. You know, that's what I'm picking up in the spirit, because the Bible tells us very plainly that blasphemy is coming, and the accuser and is being cast down onto the earth, and the slander. That seems to be the buildup to where we're going right now. Do you sense that?
Absolutely. There is a huge attempt to discredit and to shut down believers. And a lot of it, Vincent, is being passed on as an excuse from the pandemic. The pandemic has really played into the left's hands, and they are milking it for everything that they've got. What I thought was really, really interesting was that Jane Fonda, I was about to say Hanoi Jane, Jane Fonda actually even said herself, she said that COVID-19 is God's gift to the left. She said that COVID-19 is God's gift to the left. And she's absolutely right. I mean, the left have benefited from the pandemic from day one. And as the saying goes, I think, you know, Saul Alinsky didn't say it verbatim, but he basically said words to the effect of, you know, never let a crisis go to waste. Never let a crisis go to waste. And so they have taken advantage of that and milked it for all its worth. You know, and let me just give you some examples in regard to how it has benefited the left. So for starters, number one, it's an excuse to expand centralized state power. And of course, all this is in the name of convenience. All this is for the purpose to make the state to be able to react with more efficiency. That's the explanation for that. But at the end of the day, they are centralizing state power, which is a real worry. Now, the second reason is that they are encouraging government dependency. This is all thanks to a climate of fear. Okay, so when people are fearful, they are looking for security. They are looking, listen, if they're not looking to their church, if they're not looking to their family, they're looking to the government. They're looking to the government. And so we're seeing a huge upsurge in government dependency. Number three, where it's a forced redistribution of wealth. And this is what we're seeing with your stimulus checks. This is what we're seeing here in Australia with our handouts, with our JobKeeper program, the JobKeeper program and the et cetera. All those things is a redistribution of wealth. And this is because of this is all part of the emergency measures, but it's still redistributing the taxpayers' money it's basically spreading the wealth. This is all socialist programs. Socialist programs. So the next one is the prolonged emergency powers. This is a big one, and we saw this happening in Victoria, where Daniel Andrews, who's a shocking, gosh, let me just put it this way, his nickname is Dictator Dan or Despot Dan, but he has basically rushed through legislation that will grant him emergency powers in which he can enforce unlawful lockdowns, lockdowns that have absolutely crushed the state of Victoria. And he's doing it through the guise of emergency powers. And there are many other examples of nations around the world where they have prolonged emergency powers that will give them the ability to crush, which leads me on to my next point, curtailing civil liberties. That's a big one. Taking away people's freedoms, individual freedoms and their civil liberties, all in the name of keeping you safe. And we're seeing this happening all the time. Again, in the next one, shutting down the church. This has been a massive one, because the number one opponent of socialism, socialists and Marxists, is the church. Marxists hate the church. Socialists hate the church because they see the church as their number one competitor. Because socialists don't want people to look to the church for guidance and to look to the church for welfare and well-being. They want them to look to the government. So they hate the church, because people become free and people become self-governed. When people turn to Christianity, they no longer need the government for anything, because they can focus, they become self-sufficient, they become self-governed. And they don't, and also too, that Christianity absolutely destroys a victim mentality within people. Because it gets their eyes off themselves and onto Jesus, where they no longer play the victim. And socialists hate that. And this is why they are, during this pandemic, they are putting a lot of effort in shutting down the church and restricting as much access to the church as possible. And then we have, it's an excuse to militarize the police to crush dissent. This is a major one. We're seeing this happen in Victoria, where Daniel Andrews has militarized his police. We're seeing this in the US, where many police departments have become, it's very difficult to distinguish whether they're actually police or whether they're actually military. So this is that's another reason. The other one is to subvert privacy laws. So governments are getting around privacy laws to spy on people, all in the name of keeping people safe, all in the name of managing the risks in regards to the pandemic. So privacy becomes another victim of this. The next one, it's an excuse for big tech, such as Facebook, Twitter, Google, YouTube, to clamp down on free speech via censorship. So we have seen this massively. I mean, we saw that with the 12 doctors, frontline doctors who treat COVID-19 patients on the front lines. And because they came out and discussed that hydroxychloroquine is an ideal treatment in treating COVID-19, Facebook banned their live feed, Twitter banned their live feed, Google got rid of them from their search results, and YouTube also banned their videos. Just unbelievable, Vincent, like the effort that they went through to shut these people down. Because, you know, if once a treatment an effective treatment such as hydroxychloroquine, when used in conjunction with zinc and also an antibiotic, there is no, you eradicate the coronavirus within 30 days and there's no longer any need for lockdowns. So there you go. So there's a huge war of censorship, and more so now leading up to the election, Vincent. It's massive. People are being banned left, right, and center. And Twitter is one of the major ones that is shutting down people, banning them, kicking them off their platform. In fact, on Facebook, Facebook actually banned one of President Trump's campaign ads, just banned the ad. of one of the, I mean, if that's not election interference, then what is? Just incredible censorship going on at the moment. And it's, they're using the pandemic as an excuse. Now, the next one is to weaken the middle class. Okay, so the left hate the middle class. They want to destroy the middle class. And the pandemic puts massive, massive pressure on the middle class. And one of the reasons how they do that is by stifling small businesses, And small businesses have taken a massive hit during this pandemic. And then the next one, it gives an excuse for some banks and businesses to go cash free. Okay, now some major department stores here in Australia have just decided to go cash because of as a result of the pandemic. In fact, a friend of mine on Facebook who actually works for a bank, I'm just trying to think of his name, but he actually put up a post and he actually said that my bank for the first time has actually now gone cash free. In fact, I might even be able to find who that was. But anyway, I'll find who that was later. But again, that's just another thing. Businesses, banks are moving towards this cash-free society, which will be a massive blow to freedom, because once it goes cash-free, government will be able to trace all transactions if they wanted to. Now, next one is it provides globalists with a sales pitch along the lines of, this pandemic has shown that capitalism is incompatible with this new normal, and only a global government is the way forward. Okay. Now, it's not verbatim to that, but it's words to that effect. In fact, today a news article broke on Breitbart.com, and if you go to Breitbart.com, you'll see the article that says World Economic Forum outlines its great reset to end traditional capitalism. Let me just read the first opening paragraphs. The coronavirus crisis presents an opportunity for a new kind of capitalism and a great reset of global economies, politics and societies, according to the World Economic Forum founder and executive chairman Klaus Schwab. In an article published Monday by the World Economic Forum, an impatient Schwab claims that neoliberalism is dead, and with it traditional notions of economic capitalism. In their place is a set of stakeholder capitalism metrics, the World Economic Forum says, enables the world to progress under one set of overarching rules. Now, let me repeat that. Under one set of overarching rules, as drawn up by it, with social justice, a key component of this brave new world. This restructure of the way we do business is the new model for the Great Reset, Schwab argues, adding he foresees the coronavirus crisis, ding, ding, there it is too good an opportunity not to reevaluate sacred cows of the pre-pandemic system. Wow. And listen, I'll just rattle off the last couple of few. The next one is that it empowers radical leftist minority groups such as Black Lives Matter and Antifa. Those groups are becoming more emboldened. They're becoming more belligerent and more powerful. Okay, the next one, it presents an opportunity to attack conservative political leaders that champion civil liberties. And look at how President Trump has been attacked during this pandemic. I mean, the left have used this pandemic to absolutely smash President Donald Trump, to absolutely hammer it. And they have not relented. It's just absolutely nonstop hammering the president over this pandemic. And by the way, President Trump reacted early on from the outset. In fact, you might remember Nancy Pelosi calling him a racist because he shut down the flights coming in from China. In fact, Nancy Pelosi, you might remember when she did a news, she actually videoed herself out in Chinatown in San Francisco saying, it's safe, come, there's nothing wrong, and basically criticizing Trump as a racist. But Trump has done all he can from the federal level to prevent the pandemic's reach. Now, where there has been massive problems in your country has been as a result of Democrat governors, okay? Where there has been massive deaths has all occurred within Democrat states and the result of the mishandling of Democrat, well, I actually question the term mishandling, okay? But it's Democrat governors that have caused the massive spike in the deaths. And when you compare the deaths of to do with COVID-19 in Democrat states compared to conservative states, my goodness, there's a huge polarization going on there. And now for the last one. It provides an ideal excuse to push for mail-in voting for the upcoming U.S. presidential election, which is, listen, if you know anything about mail-in voting, also known as ballot harvesting, it is vulnerable to be manipulated, easily manipulated. And it can be manipulated in two ways. It can be manipulated by injecting fraudulent mail-in ballots, but it can also be manipulated by whereas ballots that have already been filled out, if they are being collected from a predominantly conservative area, those ballots can simply be thrown into the trash. So this is the major issues. And all of this has gone under the cover of the pandemic has been the excuse for all of these initiatives by the left. And just as Jane Fonda said, COVID-19 is God's gift to the left. They are milking it for all it's worth, and they're not going to let go of it anytime soon. And this is why any hint of an easy solution, such as hydroxychloroquine and zinc and an antibiotic, is shut down quicker than you could ever possibly imagine, because they are getting so much mileage out of these lockdowns. And listen, it's absolutely deplorable and despicable that they would reach to this absolute low to put our countries through this absolute difficulties in order to score political points.
Yeah, well said. That's an incredible report, Daniel. And I was thinking about President Donald J. Trump. I would think everybody in this country would want what he took. You know, he was diagnosed with COVID-19, yeah, and he comes out 3 days later. He's back on the campaign trail. He's totally healed. So
yep,
it's all about the money. Isn't the trail, the love of money is,
yep,
the root,
absolutely,
of all evil. So it's all about selling, yep, a vaccine. It's all about propaganda. It's all about manipulation. It's all about deception. And, yep, you know, it's very interesting that everything you just talked about is really all the different components being set for the biblical one world government that is spoken of in the Bible. And I realize, yeah, that the world has its own vision for the future. And I realize, mm-hmm, that, you know, the whole world looks at maybe Christianity and the book of Revelation as an outdated, antiquated book. And, you know, people that believe or follow that kind of thinking are, you know, really not relative to the new now. Mm-hmm. But quite frankly, everything you're saying is biblical. It's in the prophecy.
Yep. Yep. And Jesus also talked about in Luke chapter 21, where he warned that there would be pestilences. Okay. Now, I'm not saying that COVID-19 is a hoax. It's not a hoax. It's actually a real virus. Okay. And for those who have existing comorbidities, trying to get it out, it can be quite dangerous. But the thing is that it's nowhere near as dangerous as people have as the media have made it out to be.
Hey, let me let me ask you a quick question. I want to interject because I just want to stay on track here. You said something earlier about the censorship that is going on in our country right now. Censorship. My question to you is that, is this kind of censorship going on all over the world in other countries, and have they already succumbed? And is America the last battle, so to speak, for this kind of censorship, which would lead again to the Revelation chapter 13?
Okay, well, look at big tech. Big tech is global, right? So it crosses transnational barriers. It's global in its reach. There is some differences in regard to privacy laws that Facebook must adhere to depending on the country. But the thing is that Facebook's community standards is still across the board. So if you are posting something in Britain about the benefits of hydroxychloroquine, okay, and you are sharing the video of the 12 doctors who gave their press conference from the steps of the Supreme Court saying that it's a wonder drug, it should be used, and we need to be using it immediately, then, listen, the person posting that in Great Britain would be shut down, as would the person in South Africa will be shut down, or in New Zealand, or in Canada. Okay, it's these people are being shut down all over the place. And just yesterday, Laura Klassen, I think her name is, she's an anti-abortion activist. She was just shut down. She was shut down on Twitter, so she's moved across to Parler. So it's almost as if they are capitalizing on this. They realize that it's only 2 weeks out to the election. They're running out of time. They need to shut down as many conservative voices as they possibly can. And listen, it's not the big fish that they shut down, because if they do that will cause a huge ruckus. I mean, people will be up in arms if they go ahead with taking down big names. What they do, they take down the smaller names that have huge influence. That's what they're focusing on, because then if they take them down, they don't cause as much ripples in the pond, if you know what I mean. So they're very, very conniving in the way and in their strategy and how they're shutting down people, and the kind of people that they are shutting down. They're very strategic in the way that they're doing it, because they don't want to cause too much of a fuss. They don't want to be seen as the 1984 Ministry of Propaganda organization, but that's exactly what they're doing. They're shutting. In fact, Google have removed Breitbart from many of their searches. In fact, if you go to search for a particular topic on a thing, they have buried Breitbart's articles right down. You have to go about three or four pages in before you get to Breitbart's articles. But they're deliberately doing this. They are doing it through algorithms. They are manipulating algorithms so conservative websites, so the number one websites that come up are the New York Times and the Washington Post and all the major left-leaning news media organizations, and then the conservative news outlets are further down. It's really deplorable.
It is deplorable, and it's satanic. It's what's happening. You know, just on a down-to-earth personal note, with all the information we're getting right now, and it's real, it's true. There seems to be, I remember in 2016 when it came to election time, and I know that's, you know, whether we want to talk about it or not, it's a reality that the election is less than 3 weeks away. And I've never heard more doubt coming from the right. You know, if Joe Biden wins the election, this is going to – they never used to talk that way. And I'm getting this real strange feeling that there's almost some sort of – and again, I could be totally wrong about this, but there's kind of a yielding to the reality that Joe Biden's going to win this election. And I don't know if that's true. But alongside of that, Daniel, I'm just going to be real honest with you right now on this broadcast. I've restrained myself from being dramatic or giving any false impressions or any information that I didn't really believe in. But I got to tell you, the last 24 hours, and it's happening to me right now again, and I don't understand it as you're talking. I've had this deep grief, this something in my heart, in my belly. And again, that's not to say anything weird. It's just something throughout the whole entire evening. And I thought, well, maybe it's something else. But as we're speaking, I feel this grief again. And it's disheartening. I don't understand exactly what it is, but I feel that, you know, there's something that I believe God, the Holy Spirit, wants to awaken us to prepare for, because everything we're talking about, man, if you don't prepare for what we're talking about mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, there's something desperately wrong. And I can't identify what it is at the moment, but something is unusual and I'm not sure what it is.
I'm feeling it.
Are you?
I'm feeling the same thing. Yeah, absolutely. I feel a
just sinking.
I was gonna get all Star Wars-y and say a disturbance in the force. But I'm definitely sensing this grieving in my spirit. That's for sure.
Really?
I think a lot of people, I think, will be shocked when they just see just how tumultuous November will be. I think November is really shaping up to be a major powder keg. What I do think could possibly happen, the election could play out either one of two ways. I mean, the first way would be what you just said in regard to Biden actually winning. I don't believe he will win on election night. I believe it will be like it'll be a red wave on election night, I believe. But if Biden gets in, it will be because of the mail-in ballots. The mail-in ballots. That would be what would get him across the line. And of course, again, those are open to manipulation. And it's almost as if the left can kind of sit back and see, when they look at all the battleground states and they see how many more ballots they need to actually win, and manipulate those ballots and send them in and win it that way. If that happens, it'll just be, gosh, just horrible. You know, the other thing too, Vincent, listen, our left-wing radicals have already released their plans on what they hope to do on Election Day. An organization of, and by the way, this is from an article called Read, Left-Wing Radicals Post Online Guide to Disrupting the Country If Election Is Close. And you can find this on Breitbart.com. But it says an organization of radical left-wing activists have posted an online guide to disruption that outlines a plan to shut down the country and force President Donald Trump from power in the event that the 2020 election is too close to call. This guide, called Stopping the Coup, available as a Google Doc, and there's a link there where you can actually check out the doc for yourself, is being circulated by a group called Shutdown DC. It casts its plan for disruption as a response to an imagined coup by the president in the case of a close election. In an email promoting the guide, Shutdown DC declares, "Preventing Donald Trump from stealing the election and remaining in office is likely to take mass, sustained, disruptive movements all over the country. The guide is a manual to that disruption." And listen, if you want to read it all, it's all, but they're proposing violence, massive agitation, huge upheaval and chaos. That's what they've got planned. Certainly doesn't sound like it's coming from the Holy Spirit, does it?
No, it doesn't at all. And I just want to be clear about something from my perspective about what we're talking about, because I think we're getting down past head knowledge into the heart of what's happening. I don't care personally who wins the election. I mean, yeah, sure, there's disgruntlement. Yeah. When Barack Hussein Obama won, you know, that was a really disheartening thing. But it didn't matter to me personally, didn't affect my life personally one way or the other, because my life is governed by the gospel of Jesus Christ and by King Jesus. period. Yeah. That's the way it will always be for me. I think what I'm more disturbed about, and really deeply disturbed at a level I hadn't even considered, is the level of deception that is already in operation among those who claim to be Christians. And yeah. I'll give you an example, Daniel. I was just talking to a man that sends me every single day. I get these scripture verses every day, mm-hmm. scripture, really good stuff. And this person is a believer and et cetera, et cetera. And stopped mm-hmm. by, was walking by the other day, and we started talking. Mm-hmm. And the hatred that he had for Donald J. Trump, that you know, some mm-hmm. conversation came up about politics, whatever, and the mm-hmm. hatred, and then out of the hatred came the four-letter words, and da-da-da-da, and the anger, and wow. the eyes bulging,
yeah.
and I'm seeing this amongst people that profess to be Christians, that go to church. They rail on President Trump as being the anti-abortionist, mm-hmm. because, you know, stem cell research is so important, and we need those aborted fetuses in order to have good stem cells to make sure we're okay. And I'm watching this, and I'm going, wait a second. Is there a level of deception that majorities of believers are already operating within, that they're hating Trump? Mm-hmm. They're going to vote for Biden, who stands for homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenderism, abortion, and all these things.
Light-term abortion.
Yeah. So how do you get there? I think this is part of the grief.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, you need to understand is that the left actually own three of the major megaphones in American society, in American culture. All right. So what are the three major megaphones? Well, number one, Hollywood. Okay. So the left own Hollywood, and you don't even get employed in Hollywood unless if you hold to leftist positions. All right. So they own Hollywood, and Hollywood have huge influence. I mean, they are the cultural storytellers. Okay, they can frame a narrative any way they want. They are incredibly powerful. They have an enormous sway. And I should add on to Hollywood the entertainment industry as well. So even, you know, people like Taylor Swift and all these different people, individuals who can have huge influence over their followers. And, you know, have you noticed many of them are all coming out with political statements, and we support Biden, and, you know, and it's just anyway. But the entertainment industry in Hollywood, the left own, the left run. It's all. I mean, what is the left? It's the spirit of this world. You know, it's the fact that God does not exist, and we can become our own gods. Okay, that's really what the spirit of leftism is, and this is why they see themselves as God. This is why they virtue signal all the time. They tell everyone else how to live, despite their own hypocrisies. Now, the other big megaphone that the left own, that is academia. Okay, so the schools, the universities, okay, they are completely dominated. In fact, in many, many faculties, you won't even find one Republican, right? And even if they do find a Republican, is more likely a never-Trumper, okay? So academia is completely dominated by the left. In fact, it was Dinesh D'Souza who said there are more Marxists on the faculties of our elite colleges than there are in all of Russia and Eastern Europe.
Wow.
So think about that. Yeah. Now, the third and final megaphone that the left own is the media. And this is why, Vincent, many, many people, even Christians, right? See, because they turn on the TV and they've out of habit, they just watch CNN, right? Out of habit, they watch NBC. So they turn on NBC, and what do they hear? Well, they hear all this brazen propaganda, brazen anti-Trump propaganda that twist what he says and make him out to be the most evil, evil man. And you can do that with anyone. I mean, NBC, CNN, they could make me out to be an evil guy. You, Vincent. But they can make anyone out to be evil. You know, they can make anyone out to be. I mean, look what they're doing to Amy Coney Barrett at the moment. I mean, they are slandering her, dragging her through the mud. This is what they do. And this is, the media have incredible power. an incredible influence. And the fact that Donald Trump has been able to do what he has done, despite what the media have slung at him, is a testament to him. I think he's been one of the greatest U.S. presidents in history. In fact, I'll even go to say that America has gone from the most corrupt U.S. president to one of the very best U.S. presidents.
Let me ask you a quick question. Let me just interject right there. I want to ask you this, and it may be putting you on the spot. I don't know. But the question I have, because now that you brought up Amy Barrett, and it's a political question just for a moment. She is going to be the third Supreme Court justice that President Trump put in the Supreme Court. Is that a sign of God's blessing and approval upon the United States of America?
I would say it's still part of God's reprieve for America. Listen, there are still many, many Americans praying for their country, praying for the country. And God hears those prayers. Okay, so America is going down fast. There's no denying that. America is hurtling towards a very hard surface, and they're using a handkerchief for a parachute. America is using a handkerchief for a parachute. Eventually, God's judgment will catch up with America. And I hate saying that because I love America and I love my American friends. I love going there. I just absolutely love the country. I have spent so much of my time researching America. I just love it to bits. But it breaks my heart that there is an inevitability of God's judgment. I've always believed that America will be chastised. There's no way that God's judgment could be staved off any longer. I mean, look at the 60 million abortions, of 60 million souls. It just breaks my heart, Vincent. When you think of the tsunami of pornography, American pornography that has saturated the entire globe. When you think of the influence of this immoral influence that America has had over other nations. Now, as an Australian, I can say that because I can see America's influence over my own country. I can see America's influence in regard to Hollywood and all of its. Look, as much as I don't like to say it, there is a time of reckoning coming.
Okay, brings me to another question, because I think you're being very honest, and I appreciate that, because I asked the question rhetorically, basically, because I think we know the answer. We understand that and this is getting down to what is the word of the Lord to America. You have to know what the word of God is, not by looking at what they're doing, because even this morning I was listening to Lindsey Graham for just a moment, talking about Sotomayor, talking about Ginsburg, how they were all very intelligent, wonderful people, and they belong on the Supreme Court. And I have a hard time with that because I think, man, that you talk about compromise levels of, well, you have to remain balanced and, it's a democratic nation or all of that stuff. And from a biblical perspective, that's lukewarm compromise. That's unacceptable to God, in my opinion. His Supreme Court doesn't have a split of decision where you allow the innocent blood to be shed and men marrying men and women marrying women, et cetera, et cetera. That's not going to happen in God's court. And yet for people on the right to tout that that's okay, that's good, these are brilliant people, the answer is, what does it matter how many Supreme Court justices are put on a bench, which are just human beings, if the country is going to be destroyed? And I keep seeing Pastor Dana's vision, and I haven't listened to anybody's opinion about him. I heard him for myself about the fist that struck the calendar in November. And it does appear that is becoming a reality. If the United States of America is destroyed, it won't be any different than the judges and the princes and the kings of the past marching into captivity. I mean, this really doesn't change things, but the influence in the deception in people's minds is that, well, this is happening, therefore it must be God's blessing. I'm not so sure that's the truth.
Yeah, and I hear where you're coming, There are a lot of people saying, well, this is all God's blessing and God's blessing is going to continue and America is going to become great again. Gosh, I cannot go along with that. I cannot go along with that because I'm looking at the trajectory in where America is heading, spiritually speaking. The church has becoming more and more apostate. I'd really love to say that there's revival going on, but there isn't. The church is becoming more weaker and more ineffective and more compromised. I mean, for example, I mean, just the whole homosexuality issue alone has been a major litmus test for the church. As a result of that, I mean, think about this. This is the most basic of all human sexuality, that God created man for woman and woman for man. It's one of the most basic litmus tests there is, but churches are failing this litmus test. Jesus is removing lampstands from so many churches all across the United States, even here in Australia. It's just incredible. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, no, yesterday, Vincent, and he sent me a message on Messenger telling me about what's going on at this. No, I was on the phone to him, that's right, telling me what's going on with a particular church just north of where I am, and how the pastor's son has now come out as gay.
Everywhere.
And he's saying, you just need to accept me for the way that God made me. This is mm-hmm. who I mm-hmm. am. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's the mantra. That is the mantra everywhere. That's what we're hearing everywhere. Two things. Yeah. I want to just get into two things. I believe the word of the Lord, and I'm saying this for our listening audience right now, I believe the word of the Lord is consistent. It's never changed. America has passed the point of no return. Do not pray for this people, but pray for the saints of God within the nation that they would be able to navigate through the storm that's coming. I'm going to stay with that. I believe that's the word of God, and it's been shown to be true over 17 years of watching the direction of our nation. One question I have for you, because it's intrinsic to your ministry, is why has there been such silence within the ranks of Islam?
Yeah, I think because what is the saying? If your enemy if your enemy is shooting it himself in the foot, you don't stop him, right?
Mm-hmm. Good point.
If your enemy is harming himself, you know, you don't get in his way. You let him go ahead and do it. If your enemy is ruining himself, you don't stop him. You let him go and do it. So Islam is just sitting back and they're enjoying the show. Okay? They're watching America go to hell in a handbasket, and they don't have to lift a finger because the left is doing all the heavy lifting. Okay, and of course, I mean, they will be more than happy to fill the vacuum once the vacuum, you know, once you remove law and order, and once you remove the influence of the church, and there's this vacuum there, they'll be more than happy to fill that vacuum and to institute Sharia law and et cetera. But yeah, I mean, they're not saying anything at the moment because they don't need to. Take a stand because the left is doing it all for them.
Okay, let me ask you this. What is the difference between now and 2008 when Barack Hussein Obama ran for the presidency and he won, right? He won.
Yeah.
And he had 8 years in the office. America continued on. Why is it right now in the political atmosphere in this nation? Why is it so desperate? Why have we brought it to the point of crises? Why weren't we saying, well, if Barack Obama wins, the country is going to be in violence and it's going to collapse and be destroyed and horrible war is going to... Why is that happening right now in this election? What's the difference?
I would say the difference is because the chickens are now finally coming home to roost. I think that You are basically seeing the fruit. The fruit is now presenting itself. And it's taken... Listen, remember what Barack Obama said? He said, we are just 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America. Okay? Mm-hmm. Oh, he might have said 3 days. You know, he said, we were just 3 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America. And fundamentally transform it, he did. That was his legacy. In fact, he was the most leftist president that the United States has ever had. And more than that, I would say he has also been the most divisive. Definitely the most divisive. And furthermore, the most, the most incompetent, I would even go as far to say. You know that job growth didn't even grow under Obama. GDP growth didn't even grow under Obama. He was a horrible president. He really didn't do much economically for the world, for the domestically for the U.S. But more than that, he was a foreign policy disaster. He was the one who weaponized Iran. The Iran deal basically gifted Iran a path to the nuclear bomb, and Obama didn't care because he's no friends of Israel. He absolutely detested Israel, even though that he ran on the ticket of being Israel's friend. So when he ran for president, he ran on the idea that Israel's sovereignty was sacrosanct. He ran on the ticket that he would be a friend of Israel, and yet he wasn't. He was one of the worst presidents for Israel that they in living memory. In fact, if you want to see a short documentary on that, check out Daylight. It's called Daylight, the story of Obama and Israel. It's on YouTube. But that gives you only, in fact, that doesn't tell the full story, because I think it only goes into half of his first term in office. But really, he was absolutely shocking, terrible to Israel. Now, the other deplorable thing that he did was that through his sequesters he gutted the U.S. military. He gutted the U.S. military. I mean, he even ordered there was even brand new military hardware that was mothballed, right? He brought the United States, the readiness of the U.S. military, down to a state that was never seen since the aftermath of World War II. I mean, he's done some incredibly bad stuff to the military, which is why Trump has worked so hard to build it back up. This is why Russia and China now have a military edge with hypersonic weapons, and America doesn't, because America have been, they're playing catch up thanks to Obama. So he was a shocking president. And as I said before, you guys have gone from the worst U.S. president to the best, one of the best U.S. presidents, and he fundamentally transformed America. He certainly did. I mean, remember what he did when homosexual marriage was okayed by the U.S. Supreme Court. He lit up the White House in rainbow colors.
He did. We were driving by it because we were there in 2015. Pastor Mike and Ken and I, as we were driving out of Washington, D.C., we saw it, and we saw it across St. Louis and across other cities everywhere. I believe something came out in the last 24, 48 hours about and this is being brought up on a chat line, which is good, that Biden, Clinton, Obama, Brennan are being exposed for treason. Okay. And so, but what does that mean? To me, it's the evidence has been out from the Jeffrey Epstein case, how many people were on Lolita Express, the skirts being lifted, Hillary Clinton. And what I hear God saying is there will be no prosecution and there will be no justice. Why? Because in Proverbs chapter 1, Brother Daniel, it says, because I have called and refused, America, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. And I'm thinking over this past generation of allowing abortion, homosexuality, and no man regarded it, but you have set it not all my counsel, would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. When your fear comes as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge, did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Now, Daniel, when I read that, I am confident that this is the same God yesterday, today, and forever to a nation that has blasphemed him, that has used the Supreme Court and our judiciary and our legislative branch of government and all of these issues to offend God all this time. And now all of a sudden say, okay, well, we're going to bring justice to those bad people. the justice of God is going to be upon our whole governmental system for what we've allowed for the last 40 years. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, Attorney General William Barr just came out and said that the Durham report will not be handed down before the election. Now, President Trump was absolutely livid over that. I mean, if you watch his interview with Rush Limbaugh, they talk about it, and he's very, very angry over that, the fact that the Durham report will not be released, its findings in regard to the Obamagate scandal. And I believe that you're right, Pastor Vincent. I believe that these crooks, deep state operatives, whatever you want to call them, you know, Clapper, Comey, Strzok, all those guys, I don't believe they'll ever come to justice. I don't believe they'll ever see prison bars. And this is really, well, it's testimony to two things. It's testimony to the fact that DC is far more corrupt than people realize. And secondly, it's because God's judgment is taking its course.
Yeah, amen. So the reason, by the way, getting behind the scenes, why I do not believe there will be prosecution, everybody's going to go to prison, there's going to be no justice served for the bad guys, is because Satan has taken a stronghold within our nation through the bloody altars of abortion, through all the bloody crimes, the blasphemy coming out of Hollywood that you mentioned, the corruption and the defilement. Satan has taken a stronghold. And everything that's happening right now is going to the deeper levels of corruption, defilement, all of these evils, because we're moving towards the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth. Why can't people see that?
Yeah. And you know what's interesting, Vincent? There are the winds of the French Revolution blowing in the air. The winds of the French Revolution are blowing in the air on numerous occasions. And this is what I've noticed this year, actually. On numerous occasions, they have been, and listen, I don't say this to upset people or to get people all worried or concerned or whatever, but at the end, people at many of these leftist demonstrations, they're bringing guillotines to these demonstrations. Okay. And these people are saying, in fact, the former CEO, of Twitter came out and said that, when the revolution comes, I'll be the first person to provide commentary when the capitalists are lined up against the wall and shot. Something along those lines. Incredible.
Yeah.
And then again, you can read this for yourself on Breitbart. There is a, in fact, where is it? In fact, it was a Democrat person from Colorado. Or might have been Denver. Anyway, this guy came out and said that he's looking forward to bringing guillotines out into the streets and indiscriminately killing Nazis. You know, I mean, it's just ridiculous that, you know, the fact that they equate conservatives to Nazis, but just that just goes right. twisted.
Wow,
they are.
Yeah,
but he's saying, you know, let's bring out the guillotines, let's deal with them. In fact, you might even seen the unhinged rant by that ESPN, former ESPN commentator who came out and said it's not just Trump, it's the people, it's Trump's enablers. We need to go after Trump's enablers. And he talks about the, you know, the Coney Barretts and the Mike Pences and the, you know, the Mike Lees. Prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law. I mean, these people are fully unhinged and they are baying for blood. You know, and I've said on many occasions, first they will demonize you, then they will dehumanize you. And I don't say that because I want to be a wet blanket or, you know, to be depressing, but that's just the truth. This is the direction in which the left are heading in. They are embracing the spirit behind the French Revolution. There's no question about that.
They've been dehumanizing the human race since the first abortion was legalized in our country and made human life something that was no longer valuable. Daniel, you and I, and I hope all of our listeners are looking forward to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that all these things have to happen first. That man of sin has to be revealed. know that we are in the beginning of sorrows. We know there's a great tribulation coming on all over the earth. But beyond that, as we endure with patience and faith and keep love in our hearts, we believe that the millennial kingdom, the righteous government of God, will finally come into this earth. And I hope you're part of that cabinet, brother. And I think if you stand and we all stand together and we do what is right and we are representatives and ambassadors for the kingdom of God, not the disruptive, corrupt United States of America, I believe we're going to be okay. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Daniel, we've run out of time. A final word for you, brother, before we go.
Oh, my goodness. Look, at the end of the day, let's just keep our eyes on him. Let's keep focused. Look, the devil is going to try and throw every distraction at you that he possibly can, okay? Just keep focused. Remain single-minded and focus on the Lord. Keep your eyes on him, you know? As Jesus himself said, he said, you know, there will be people will be laid weighed down with carousing and dissipation and drunkenness and the anxieties of life, and the day will unexpectedly close on them like a trap. So we need to be very careful. We need to be alert. We need to watch and we need to pray.
And I see a lot of Christians on the Mount Carmel, and they're watching Elijah the prophet and the prophets of Jezebel, and there's this big battle, and the people are so confused. They're just looking back and forth like a tennis match, and they're going, what's the truth? I believe November is going to speak what the truth is. We'll see. Yep. Time will tell. We'll see where our country is. I hear that there are Chinese and Russian troops amassing in Canada. We'll see.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, well, this is coming from Vietnam sources and all that stuff, so or ex-Vietnam veteran sources. We'll see where it all goes, but in the interim, remember, first and foremost and primarily, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. We are born again. Our hearts and our minds are connected. We are seated in heavenly places. Don't ever forget that. As citizens of this country, we're to be salt and light. Keep winning souls for the kingdom of God, but put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ. Daniel Seckham, as always, thank you for bringing it. God bless you, my friend. Shalom. Have a good night's rest. All right, we're going to say goodbye for now, ladies and gentlemen, to Daniel. We're going to say right now that on Omega Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there is a roundtable discussion talking about the spirit of iniquity. My God, has iniquity taken root in our country. If you'd like to hear that, it's on omegaradio.org. It's my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier, talking with a roundtable panel out of her book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. Until then, I'm Pastor Vince. Shalom. Thanks, everybody, for talking with us on the chat room. By the way, some excellent comments and greetings and blessings to all of God's kids everywhere around the world. Stay sober, watch and pray, and live an abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Until we meet again tomorrow morning, I'm Pastor Vince. Shalom, and God bless you.